Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ordinary council meeting of Devonport City Council, Monday the 25th of February. It's 5:30. Those present are, all of our councillors are present. Council acknowledge and pay respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it's council policy to record council minutes in accordance with council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant council officer and advise of their wishes. Apologies, as I've said, all councillors are present, so we don't have any apologies. Item 2.0, declarations of interest. Do I have any declarations of interest in any item on this agenda?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to declare 5.6 an interest in that agenda item, please.
Which?
5.6.
5.6. Thank you, Councillor Milbourne. Any others? Confirmation of minutes, item 3.1.1, council meeting of the 29th of January. Do I have a mover of those minutes, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry and Councillor
Hollister,
thank you. Councillor Perry.
No, it's all in the report, nothing to add. Thank you.
Councillor Hollister. Any comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2 is public question time, and item 3.2.1 is the response from questions from prior meetings. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please?
Me.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock, do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Councillor Perry. Councillor Laycock.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Councillor Perry.
No, nothing further. Thank you.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.2 are questions on notice from the public. We have a recommendation on page 16. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please? Thank you. Councillor Alexio. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hollister, thank you. Any comments, Councillor Alexio? Councillor Hollister? Any other comments, questions? Councillor Alexio to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.3 is questions without notice from the public, which is your opportunity to ask any questions. I offer that you have two questions and a limit of 3 minutes, and we have half an hour for question time. If there's anyone in the gallery who would like to ask a question, feel free to come to the podium, giving us your name and address and asking your question. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jack Gray. I live at 38 Surrey Street, Devonport. I turned 34 years old this year, and I have a question about climate change policy and the council's attitude. I've never lived in my lifetime through a month wherein the global average sea and land surface temperature has been below the 20th century average. And the last 5 years, as you probably know, we're all in the top five warmest on record since pretty much since global records began. And the Bureau of Meteorology has informed us that January was the hottest and driest month ever in Tasmania, and it looks likely that this trend will continue. If we want to mitigate the worst effects of climate change, then we have to take action now through the choices we make today, and no one of us is too small to fight this problem. Obviously, we have to reduce the emissions of greenhouse gases. I fully realise climate change adaption is a policy priority for councils all over Australia, but you may not know that there are now 300 local councils around the world that have declared that we are in a climate emergency. And so in short, I would ask the Devonport City Council if they would consider becoming part of a worldwide local council movement that declares that we are in a climate emergency.
Thank you, Jack, for a very well thought out question. We will take it on notice and take it and get back to you in writing. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions? No?
Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mondetta. It's noted in the current agenda on page 162, item 1.5 of the General Manager's report that met with the TAS Audit Office representative to discuss a review process which the office has been undertaking during the past 12 months. Will the General Manager confirm if this is a normal process, and if not, what is the purpose of this review?
Thank you, Mr. Gardam.
Through you, Madam Chair. The process is that we regularly meet with officers of the audit department. There has been a review process that's been undertaken of a number of councils in the state, and they're currently preparing a report, which Devonport Council is one of those. So I've met with that. That report is confidential between the audit department until such time as it is tabled in Parliament.
Okay, thank you. Question two. It has been included in the current agenda on page 40 that Council has previously identified a construction budget of $15 million for the waterfront parkland, and the Federal Government has committed $10 million towards the development, with the remainder being funded by Council. While this may be the best construction estimate until design is completed and tenders received, does Council maintain an overall cumulative costing, including both property acquisitions and development costs, being all operational and capital expenditures, in order that an accurate overall cost can be disclosed to ratepayers instead of ad hoc disclosure of property purchases and budget amounts for intended work going forward? Is it not true that the actual cost to ratepayers will be in the order of $12 million on completion, and therefore a total cost of about $22 million for the waterfront precinct?
Which was your question, Mr. Gardam?
The question is... does Council maintain an overall cumulative costing, including both property acquisitions and development costs, being all operational and capital expenditures, in order that an accurate overall cost can be disclosed to ratepayers instead of ad hoc disclosures of property purchases and budget amounts for intended work going forward?
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Mr. Lewis? Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor. The process is that budget items are disclosed in the capital program. And obviously the $15 million that you're talking about for the waterfront development has been identified in the forward plan. In relation to previous capital purchases and those types of things, they've all been disclosed. There isn't a single document at this stage. That type of information hasn't been asked for by the council in the past. And so if council required that, then we would present that.
So put simply...
you've had your two questions, Mr. Gardam, thank you.
Put simply, you don't keep a cumulative total, you just, if it's been and paid, it's gone and hopefully forgotten about. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll foreshadow a third question. Thank you.
Rodney Russell, 225 Steele Street, Devonport. This evening, Council will discuss the artwork in the apse of the old gallery. Question, would it be better for Council to not have any permanent artwork fixed to the new gallery?
Thank you. As you've said, it is a matter for discussion tonight, so that will be discussed as part of the agenda. Thank you.
Question two. I see where Council received 7 quotes for cleaning of Council facilities with their price printed in the agenda for ratepayers to view. Question. Could Council, when making leasing arrangements with operators, make them aware that the agreements and amount will be printed in the next Council agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Through you, Madam Chair, the process is that the tender document is clear that those that information is disclosed and those particular projects. That's a decision for Council at some stage. If that's the way that they wish to proceed with other items, that would be a matter for Council to make that determination.
Thank you. I have a third question.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Janney?
Thank you, Mayor Rockliffe. My name's Douglas Janney, 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. McBride Street. Monday, Tuesday last week, a machine was removing lichen from part of the road surface. Not all of the road surface was treated. What was the purpose of this activity, as the road was only partly done?
Thank you, Mr. Janney. We'll need to take that one on notice.
Question two, item 5.1, tonight's agenda. On page 27, under discussion, it was written that all the tenders were conforming. Page 29, under conclusion, states the Lazaro tender meets Council requirements. So what is the difference between these two statements?
Thank you, Mr. Janney.
Through you, Madam Chair, the most probably nothing is different between those two statements, apart from in the introduction of any tender report, we will outline whether the tenders that were received were conforming. And when it comes to the conclusion, in this case, it's being suggested that the Lazario tender was the best value for Council, whereas if it was for some other reason, another tenderer was recommended because it was a higher value, there'd be further commentary around why it was determined that that would be the tender that we would be recommending to the Council.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Janney. Any other questions?
Good evening. Jenny Clare, 57 Gun Street, Devonport. My first question relates to the Parkland plan. President Trump wants a wall and the Devonport Council wants a walkway. These structures have a lot in common. They both would be a blot on the landscape, expensive to build, costly to maintain, serve no useful purpose and be a shocking waste of money. It's up to the Americans to worry about the wall, but it's up to Devonport residents to worry about the walkway. The giant steel edifice that will jut out over the river at a height of 9 metres. And indeed, it's up to Devonport residents to worry about the revised Parkland plan, to which community outcry has achieved only minor changes. This plan still includes 3 dangerous zebra crossings, an unfenced playground beside the river, a toilet block on the riverbank, a woodland area which will impede potentially the holding of events and into the future as events get larger, and the cutting down of heritage trees, including the magnificent tree beside the bust of Enid and Joe, which judging by its size is 100 years old. So my question tonight is this, and especially in view of the fact that the Council has just had a survey done of Devonport residents, 600 residents were phoned to find out their opinions about various issues, including the Living City, and at a cost of $15,000. So my question tonight is this. Is the Council aware that this issue has divided our community and that a considerable number of Devonport residents are opposed to the Parkland plan?
Thank you, Ms. Clare. I'll take that as opinion rather than a question. Thank you.
I'll go on to question two.
You may.
The EMRS survey contained two questions relating to the Living City. One question being about the continuance of the Living City project as a whole, and the other question relating specifically to the waterfront park. This question asked how likely respondents and their families would be to visit the 8 listed features of the park. The agenda shows that voting on whether to accept the revised parkland plan is going to happen tonight, when we get to item 5.2. And yet, to my knowledge, and I think this information is correct, the survey results have not yet been received and have not yet been seen by our councillors. It would seem that the cart is being put before the horse. Given Council's desire to avoid reputational damage by engaging in meaningful community consultation, I would suggest it may have been more prudent to have waited until the survey results were available before councillors were expected to vote on this very important question, whether to accept the parkland plan. If the council goes ahead with this item on the agenda tonight in the absence of the survey results, this would seem to indicate that the council, although prepared to spend $15,000 on the survey, is not very concerned with the opinions of its constituents as contained in the results. So my question tonight is, does the council intend to proceed with this agenda item in the absence of the survey results, or have you got the survey results and have had time to study them carefully? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Clare.
Through you, Madam Mayor. In relation to the fact that the issue of the waterfront was on the agenda tonight, I requested the results for the two waterfront questions to be provided to Council earlier today, which I've since circulated to the councillors. The purpose of the survey was not just in relation to the waterfront development, but there was questions there in relation to other matters around Council's review of its current strategic plan. So to answer your question, the councillors are in receipt of the particular responses to questions 8 and 9 on the survey, which related directly to the waterfront precinct.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I'm Mary Ellen James and I'm Madden Crescent, Devonport. I too am concerned about the waterfront development. I'm very concerned about the safety and the aesthetics of the proposed construction and the demolition of the beautiful tree. I feel that the construction jutting out over the water would not be conducive to the betterment of our city, and I would like to ask if there is a means by which the residents can have more of an input and as to how this is developed or not developed. And I would also like to know what the benefit is hoped for by building a huge hotel complex on the waterfront in the place where the old Harris Scarf building is, when the gateway is never full and that we already have an abundance of hotel accommodation. Would that area be better spent and better used for other endeavours around the place for other businesses to come in? Because we certainly do need more in the development in the CBD. It's been too fragmented and people are not being able to sustain their businesses. I have never seen so many shops empty as they are now. So what has Council got in mind to help to bring the CBD back into a cohesive and functioning place for us, for our living city?
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. James. Thank you, Ms. Jones. I appreciate the thought put into the questions. There were several there. I guess my response would be that the Living City is certainly has been the there's been consultation for a period of 3 years now over the whole project, and we've certainly had lots of input from a lot of people. And I guess my response to your question around the CBD is that I personally haven't seen it ever as busy and as and the shops as full as they are right now. And certainly part of Living City.
Really?
Thank you. Thank you. We will respond in writing to your questions. Thank you. Mr. Bellicott?
Thank you, Mayor. Bob Vellicott, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. My Mayor and councillors, a question tonight is on the elevated walkway and the estimated costs. As you will be deciding tonight as to whether or not you will be progressing to the eventual construction of the elevated walkway, have you now, and I emphasise now, obtained an estimate for the construction and maintenance of the structure? If so, what is the amount? If you have not obtained the estimates, how can you make a considered decision tonight? I would suggest proceeding at this point in time without that information would be most unprofessional.
So your question, Mr. Bellicott?
Pardon?
Your question was?
Have you received the estimates?
You continued after, and I wasn't sure which part was your question.
Have you received the estimates?
Yeah, through you, Madam Mayor. Look, Council's had a quantity surveyor provide a preliminary estimate for the design as it currently sits, and as is noted in the agenda, the current design fits within the $15 million construction budget that Council's currently allocated.
Thank you.
Just a clarification, if I may.
I'm
fully aware of that. The question was in the estimates individual for the walkway, because that's a big decision tonight. And have you or any of the councillors seen that estimate for the construction and the maintenance thereof?
Asked and answered, Mr. Vellicott. Thank you. Did you have a second question?
Yes, I do. This is in relation to the service road for the proposed hotel. When and what was the reason Council decided that the service road necessary for the waterfront hotel would be subsidised, i.e. constructed and maintained using ratepayers' funds? Also, are you aware of that estimated construction and ongoing costs will be required for the service road?
Thank you, Mr. Bellicott. We've done surveyed costs.
Through you, Madam Mayor. The issue of the service road was certainly discussed by Council as part of the decision for the land sale, but also the development of the hotel. So Council certainly has been aware that that's included in relation to being part of the parkland development. In relation to the costs of that, it will become similar to any road asset that Council has that will need to be included on Council's asset register, depreciated and maintained. As to the costs of that, it will be no more or no less, I suppose, than any other road that Council maintains in a serviceable condition.
Thank you.
Again, just as a clarification, what was the real main reason for Council taking that upon themselves instead of the developer? I would have imagined in normal circumstances that would be at the developer's cost, not at the ratepayer's
expense.
Thank
you for your comments, Mr. Vellicott. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have anyone else with questions?
Yes, thank you.
Evening, Jason Ivory, 10 Glencourt, Devonport. I won't bang on about the Living City. I think it's a great development. The Mersey Vale Memorial Walk, does council have plans to put something in place that families can actually grieve, apart from Mother's Day, Father's Day and Christmas Day? Currently, you can take out there now and put your things in place on those three particular dates and they're removed. Are we allowed to grieve our loved ones on their birthday?
Thank you, Mr. Ivory, and certainly that has been subject of some discussion, and we're still looking at a way forward for that, and certainly not done yet.
Right, thank you. Secondly, I noticed recently the Victoria Parade boat ramp, which again I think was a pretty good development with the space that you've had there, has come under a little bit of fire again with the senior citizens group wanting to use that car park. I don't believe that that's probably fair when there's only two locations in Devonport you can launch a boat with limited parking. RVs are allowed to park in both of these areas, and if we allow senior citizens to park on the major boat ramp in the Devonport municipality, where do the recreational fishermen and commercial fishermen park? Also, the western side of Victoria Parade, that was designed as part of the reworks to allow trailers to pull over there, unload, get their gear ready before proceeding to the boat ramp. I noticed that that's fully parked up with cars now, so what's the council's plans moving forward with that?
Thank you, Mr. Ivory. I think you may be aware that we did open up the part of the car parking which is opposite the fire station to our parking to hopefully alleviate some of the problems that they have at the 60 and over club. I'm not sure that we've completely resolved it, but at this point we have no intention of changing the rules around the boat ramp parking.
RVs continue to park in there, ma'am?
At this point, yes.
Can we utilise the showgrounds?
Good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other... I'm not sure whether I have everyone who wants to ask a question. No, I still have someone else. Thank you.
Hi, Ali Butcher, 133 Parker Street, Devonport. I was a candidate for the council election, so I'm sad not to be at the table, but I'm really pleased you guys are feeling the pressure tonight. One of my ongoing concerns that I see is I have a background in early childhood and education and care. I'm quite concerned that our parkland developments and our areas intended for children are actually not modelled on best practice for children's learning and development. I keep seeing architects having their input. I've spoken to people about which development expert was spoken to. Does council have a plan to start looking at who should be included in the consultation process for children's learning and development in our community in all our parks going forward?
We don't have a specific plan, Ms. Butcher, but obviously we always aim to put, we've certainly recent times put developments that we've done in parks for children's playgrounds out to community consultation and ask for feedback around those, and I can't see any reason why that won't change into the future. So thank you for your input and keep your eye out.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else who hasn't asked a question who would like to ask a question? We're nearly out of our half hour. Mr. Gardam.
Question three. The General Manager has advised that the demolition of the Harris Scarf building is part of the contract that Council has entered with Fairbrother in relation to purchase of that part of that area, which is about half, which the building is actually situated on. Observation is that the demolition methodology adopted, that's deconstruct the building, is labour intensive and not necessarily the cheapest approach for ratepayers. Question, if a contribution to costs is involved, can Council confirm that ratepayers have not or will not contribute in some way to the demolition of the Harris Scarf building?
Mr. General Manager.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the pr- process, I think I've been asked similar questions previously, is that there was it forms part of the sale contract with Fairbrother in relation to the actual cost of the demolition. Council sought other quotes to compare the price in relation to what it was going to cost and its contribution towards the cost of the demolition to what it would have been if a different demolition contractor was used. So it was market tested, and certainly council is getting value for money from that process.
That's great to hear that you have market tested. Just to be clear here, it didn't actually ask, are we contributing to it? You've had checks on it. I take it that we're paying.
As I explained at a previous meeting in relation to the demolition, it has formed part of the land sale arrangement with Fairbrother. Certainly part of the building is on land that will be developed by the Devonport City Council as part of the parkland, and it was seen that council was responsible for that portion of the demolition, with Fairbrother being responsible for the portion of the demolition that will be specifically in relation to the development.
So it's about 50%, roughly 50% Fairbrother.
It's within that vicinity.
In that, yeah, I think I made it 40%, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gardam.
Could I just have a follow-up to my previous question? In view of the fact that the survey results for those two questions are known, and I did ask the question, is the council aware that the community is divided on this issue, which I don't think was actually answered. The answer was just given that the survey results are known. Would you like to share with us what the survey results were in the sense, just specifically of that question?
That will form part of our discussion around...
Is the council aware that the community is divided on this issue?
The results certainly show that there are fors and against, but there is a fairly definite trend one way or the other. Thank you. And it will form part of the conversation we have later in the evening. No other questions? Thank you, everyone. Moving on to item 3.3, notices of motion. Item 3.3.1, preservation of work by Philip Wolfhagen. Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. I just think this is a very important item that we need to just make sure that we've...
I need a seconder first.
Oh, sorry.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Alexia.
I just think this is important. We've brought it up on the committee level at the Art Gallery, and the committee are very much behind this motion that we've brought forward to this table. A very important piece of art is installed, I suppose is a word you could use, certainly was placed into the Art Gallery in the Apse, and I'm very proud that it is there, and a wonderful artist who very kindly did this without even being commissioned through his sentiment of his great-grandfather, I do believe, that designed the Art Gallery. And I just think it would break my heart if something happened to the building, we sold it or it went into other hands and someone looked up and thought, oh, that's not really the colour I want up there, and they painted over it. It would be terrible. There's no plaque mentioning that it is a work of art. There's no explanation of why it's there. So I just think council needs to be responsible in making sure that this work is acknowledged. It's on our register, and we certainly need to make sure that we preserve it at the best of our ability. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Councillor Alexia.
Nothing more to add then.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor
Mayor, I've had a look at this work over the years.
Sorry, Councillor Hollister.
I've been on the Art Gallery Committee for quite a long while, and it's always been held in high regard, this work, and I believe if we can do something to keep it in the building when the building has another use, it's be beneficial to the community.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman to close.
Thank you. Look, I appreciate that hopefully my fellow colleagues will feel that the same as I do, and I hope that we can look after it and certainly make sure that it is acknowledged going into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. That being the case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 4.0 is planning authority matters. There are none, so we move on to item 5.1, which is the tender report 1328 for the cleaning of council facilities and offices.
So move me.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Hollister, thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think there's anything further to add. It's all been set out there and gone through thoroughly, so I'll leave it where it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister?
No, it's all in the report. Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.2 is the community consultation for the waterfront precinct. The recommendation is on page 41. Councillor Hollister, do
page
I have
41.
A thank you. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Councillor Hollister.
I believe this is a very important development. There's been a lot of comments and so forth made. No doubt there'll be further consultation as we go forward over time, and I believe that it's well worth the city going forward with these plans.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'll just start off with a couple of questions before I make a couple of comments. It's been noted earlier tonight that the General Manager has received answers to or some feedback on questions 8 and 9 that form part of the EMRS survey. General Manager, which relates specifically to the Living City project, are you at liberty to give us a snapshot on that information?
Through you, Madam Mayor. Question 8 and 9 on the survey. Question 8 related to... just find the right piece of paper. Question 8 related to the Living City Master Plan and whether people agreed or disagreed with Council's continued focus on progressing the Living City Master Plan. The total agree, that is either strongly agree or somewhat agree, was 60%, and the total disagree was 34% for somewhat disagree or strongly disagree, with 6% unsure. There had been some questions raised in relation to whether the preamble may have influenced people one way or the other. And so what was agreed with EMRS is that they would ask 300 respondents the question with the preamble and then the balance of the 300 without the preamble. And what that found is that with the preamble, 60% agreed, 60% agreed, without the preamble, 59%, with the total disagreement going from 36 to 32. The only variation that they saw as a result of removing the preamble was that the unsure number went up by 5%. And the comment from EMRS is that the only that they believe that the unsure was increased due to the lack of the context around the question, which is why that increased. There was a question that was asked of the respondents if they disagreed or strongly disagreed with the continuation of the implementation of the master plan, as to their reasons for that. And there's a number of different reasons, but the biggest one was 32% of those people who disagreed. It was in relation to that it was a lot of money or a waste of taxpayers' money. There was 8% that thought there were bigger priorities being roads and footpaths. 6% talked about fragmenting the city. 5% said will not benefit residents, only wealthy tourists. There was another 5% that said there was too much parking. And then there was a number of other smaller ones, not enough people, not enough population. But the other category, there was 13%, which kept not in keeping with the area, wouldn't bring tourists, a hotel would impact on the river views, those types of concerns. Then the subsequent question was in relation to the waterfront park itself and whether people would be likely, very likely, somewhat likely, not very likely or not likely at all to visit various aspects of the waterfront park. The open lawn area, so I'll just mention the total likely and then the unlikely, the percentages. Open lawn area, 71% were likely to. 27% unlikely to. The elevated walkway from Rook Street to the river, 68% were likely to and 30% unlikely. The water feature, 58% likely, 34% unlikely. The tree woodland, 57% likely, 31% unlikely. And the terraced event space, 57% likely and 35% unlikely. And obviously the difference when you count to 100, people were unsure, made no view on that. The barbecue shelter, 55% were likely to, 43% unlikely. Nature-based playground, 51% were likely, 46% unlikely. And the rotunda pavilion, 49% likely and 35% unlikely. Obviously, then there's some commentary around various age groups and one of the ones, for instance, on the playground, just as a matter of interest, that respondents aged 30 to 39 were significantly more likely to state they would be likely at some level to visit a nature-based playground, 77%, particularly when compared to those aged 50 to 59, and that was 15%. And so that was the purpose of getting some of the age demographics included in here as well. So that information was received, as I said, this afternoon, and we've circulated to the councillors, and we'll put that particular aspect of the survey results up on the Living City website in the next day or so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the interesting one for me was the first of those questions, presumably question 8, where 60% approved of the direction we're taking with the preamble and 59% approved it without the preamble. So essentially the preamble made no difference at all to what people were thinking about the project. So that's encouraging. My second question is, I note on the bottom of page 40, the critical clause in the grant deed is confirmation of the contractor by the end of July 2019, but a note further up the page, once council approval is given, the design team require approximately 10 to 12 weeks to complete the detailed design and prepare tender documentation. So does that actually mean there is a more pressing time frame before July 2019 in relation to ensuring that the $10 million from the federal government is received?
Through you, Madam Chair, there's also a report on tonight's agenda in closed session which actually includes a copy of that grant deed. It is a requirement by the federal government that we keep that confidential until it's signed, but we had 30 days from the time of receipt of the grant deed to actually return it to Canberra signed.
My recollection is we received that last week, but it was in the press.
Correct.
Right. Thank you. Okay, well, that's answered my questions. Thank you for that. This particular project obviously has been ongoing with the design, the ideology around it, the focal point or a focal point of the Living City project has been ongoing pretty much since 2012. We've consulted widely since or commencing November 22 last year, and well prior to that in essence, but November 22 last year. We've met with the designers since then more than once. We see in the report there are 24 groups of 24 design changes, which the consultants have taken into consideration, and I note point two of the recommendation actually says, proceed with tender documentation based on the design as submitted for the development application, subject to improvements as outlined in this report, and there is a collection of those improvements, and receipt of a planning permit. So there is safety in that comment that we don't proceed until those improvements as outlined in the report are met. So I'm comfortable with that. I think we need to push on with this. I don't think this kind of project will ever get unanimous support. In fact, we'll never get close to unanimous support because it is a wide-ranging and quite a radical departure from what we're used to seeing on the waterfront. We as a city need to grow, and this is important as part of that growth, and I trust other councillors see it that way, and we push on. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Any other comments? Councillor Jarman.
Well, of course I'll be commenting. Thank you very much. So, how long have you got? I'm not happy with this because the general public out there aren't happy with this. Let's start at the beginning. We didn't have a say as a council.
What were those numbers again?
Sorry?
What were those numbers
again? Just let me speak, thanks.
Excuse me.
Councillor Perry.
A bit more. I expect everyone in this room to treat each other with respect. Thank you.
Thank you.
That includes members of the gallery. Thank you. Alderman Jarman, you have the floor.
We as a council on this table did not suggest the questions that went to that survey. This was sent by the staff to us for us to agree to. I was quite happy with them, don't get me wrong, but if I'd had my say in what could have been asked, they would have been a lot more direct and a lot more succinct to the actual plan. So bear with me here. If I had my way, I would have asked, do you want us to develop the other side of Formby Road? Because that's generally what the public is ringing me about and talking to me about. They don't want what we love touched. And we don't want to develop it or change it for a hotel. So the hotel's going ahead, I know that. And the only thing I had a problem with the hotel was about the car parking, the lack of. Not the actual hotel itself, it's going to be a wonderful thing for the area, don't get me wrong. But we love what we've got at that waterfront. And one of the parts of the preamble, I must say, is opening the city to the river. That's part of the preamble. And yet we're seeming to get an idea that what we need to do is touch what's down there. And a lot of people don't want us to change what they already love and use. We had 9,000 people down there using the area for New Year's Eve. But we can't seem to think that if we clog it up with lots of infrastructure and development and cement and gravel and all these things, we're not going to have 9,000 people down there because already the part of the Harris Scarf car park will be taken up by the hotel. So we won't have that extra space. The questions are really well meaning. However, sitting on a phone and not looking at the plan themselves, people aren't going to be able to answer properly. So I'm not an accountant. I don't like statistics. So I don't care. It was 600 people we've asked. Only 600 of the many people that live here, as well as the whole region that uses it. So I don't agree with item two in this recommendation. That's it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. I suppose this is a bit like a baptism of fire for a brand new councillor, but unfortunately, you know, it's a democratic process and understanding how the numbers work, whether I like it or not, we're going to see significant change down the waterfront. The major concerns I have, specifically in relation to the data that the architects or the designers used in collating or coming up with their design in relation to Formby Road, I think using statistics from July of 2015 doesn't provide an accurate picture of where Devonport will be in 20 years' time, considering the growth that we're actually going through and the changes that are coming with the new spirits of Tasmania. I think with regards to the lack of consideration giving to how significant Formby Road is to linking the northern half of the city, and the amount of traffic that it does encounter is significant. I think in relation to another concern would be in relation with regard to the trees. I think the removal of the trees will be to the detriment of that area. And the reason I say that is the replacement, or the proposed replacement trees, native species to Tasmania. If anyone's been out to Devonport Golf Club after a windy day, I can tell you, it's not a really good experience. And we are going to, if that is going to be the case, that is what we will encounter. Now, having to sit through a workshop and listen to the architects justify as to the reasons why they've done what they've done was really good, which formulates part of what's in the report tonight. I suppose on the positive, I am looking forward to, Devonport potentially producing an Olympic high diver with the construction of a brand new 10-metre diving platform. It'll be fantastic for the river. I think that'll be a wonderful thing. And I also think the new barbecue shelter down on the waterfront will be a fantastic opportunity for the less fortunate and transient people that we see utilising that space, and the fact that they'll be now provided with an ensuite cooking facility and dining facility down on the river will be fantastic. So there is some real positives there. At the end of the day, the numbers are as they are. It pains me, but there's not too many options in relation to... we have to move forward and we have to accept that. The design is the design, whether we like it or whether we don't. Unfortunately, it'll get up. So at the end of the day, hopefully it'll benefit the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. I think if you look at the recommendation, it covers everything. I mean, when you get down to halfway through point two, subject to improvements as outlined in this report and receipt of the planning permit. Now, that simply means we've got room to move. So little things like putting a little bit more shelter in with the bus shelter and being very mindful of the trees, which we all are. I know some people think that we're not a bit interested in this, but we are. At council, we're working closely with an arborist, as well as the architects, the councillors, the staff, to make sure to retain as many as we can of the beautiful trees. We don't want a chainsaw effect going straight through and cutting them down. It's like some of the misinformation that went around saying that we were going to lose those beautiful, I'll call them the grass humps. I think at most we're going to lose part of one to fit the rotunda in. So they're just all very positive questions that we need to make sure that we cover. And I'm comfortable because we do have room to move and we can do that in the next few weeks. I'd just like to reply to Alderman Jarman as far as saying there's not enough parking for the hotel. It's got, there's plenty of parking and there's still room for events. In actual fact, in some ways, there's more room for events. We might lose the Harris Scarf where the hotel goes in the opposite direction, but we'll gain spaces on that site where Ability Windscreen is, and of course, when you talk to the representatives of, just take for example, Devonport North Rotary Club, they are very excited about being able to use around Market Square and other areas within this plaza. So it's a very difficult time. I think somebody mentioned, Alderman Perry, Councillor Perry said that you'll never keep everybody happy and you won't. And just like to assure everybody in the public gallery that we have spent hours and hours on this. There's been a lot of time put aside that you have participated in public consultation, and we do thank you for that because it's very important. And we do take it into consideration. You can see it printed in the documentation tonight, and that's what we'll be taking as much of that into consideration as we can. We've got to move ahead. This is something that Devonport needs. We need that area there. We need the open space. But just remember everything I've said, like the grassed area, excuse me. The grassed area and the, with the grass humps and the space for recreational activities. Devonport's got some wonderful events, and why would we cut off our nose to spite our face to stop that? Because within this council, it's taken many years for us to be on that event calendar. So I know we've still got a way to go, but I think that we're on the right track, and I certainly will be voting for this motion tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Any other comments, questions?
May I ask a question, if I may?
You may.
Anybody else? Thank you. Just a question through you to perhaps the General Manager. Regarding the trees, because there is a lot of angst about the trees, this arborist that we have spoken to, I did ask if he'd give that report in writing, and I was told no. So is there more that we can get on that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, on page... on the page number. Page 35 of the agenda, there were certainly some opinions in relation to the trees and those types of things. And it states in there that mature trees will be kept where the existing tree character is aligned to the proposed landscape, etc. So I think the point is that there was an arborist was actually looking at the trees, and there is more information to come back in relation to that. But where possible, the mature trees will certainly be kept as part of the revised plan.
Because that's what a lot of angst out there is. So we will get a report on that. Excellent.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair, that is correct. There is information that will be forthcoming as part of the next stage, which will be the detailed design process to get to where it needs to go to tender.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Councillor Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. Just with regard to the bus interchange... come September 2019, the bus timetable will change significantly, and we will now have buses running 7 days a week. So the impacts on that space for events, how will they be impacted?
It's my understanding we've been continuing to liaise with all of the bus companies, Merseylink and the regional bus, and we're all aware of the changes that will happen and that we will need to I can't give you the specifics about how, but we're certainly aware of those changes that are planned fairly soon. Thanks, Councillor Murphy. I will ask just in time, yeah. Councillor Ennis.
Yep. Look, there's no doubt that this is a big change for Devonport, and down on the waterfront, people are sort of quite comfortable with how it looks and how it might be. I think we need to be open-minded as to... there can be an improvement. I mean, obviously, that's what they're aiming for. With this, we're aiming for an improvement to make it a better space for everyone. Hopefully, when it goes ahead, if it goes ahead, that it's people will grow to love the space, and I know it'll be different. It may well be different to what people have had in the past. But that's an important thing, and you know we could have 550 different views on exactly what it might be, because I would like particular things exactly in something else. It's always hard to get a compromise as to where we might go, but I think the amount of discussion consideration that has gone into this. Hopefully it'll come out very well.
Thank you, Councillor Ennis. Councillor Hollister, to close.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I urge the councillors around the table to support this recommendation. I think it's very important for the city. People talk about trees. You probably remember this not that long ago that one of those huge trees across the road from the fire department actually fell over. And I hope that the arborists are looking at the trees seriously, and whether we need to maybe even get some mature trees from somewhere eventually. So it will be interesting to see the arborist report when it comes forward in the future, when we're making these final considerations.
Thank you, Councillor Hollister. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Those against?
No.
I will ask for a show of hands. Those in favour, Councillor Alexio, Councillor Ennis, Councillor Hollister, Councillor Laycock, Councillor Milburn, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Perry, Councillor Rockliffe, those against, Councillor Jarman. The motion is carried. Thank you, everyone, for the conversation and the debate. which will be ongoing, I'm sure. Item 5.3 is a review of the Tasmania's local government legislation framework. We have a recommendation. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Councillor Murphy? Councillor Perry.
The recommendation pretty well sums it up, Madam Mayor. I think we have to be careful, like other councillors, in not to be overburden ourselves with another layer of, oversight. There's plenty of oversight as we speak, and this we just simply don't need to be answering to another set of rules and regulations that aren't adequately covered for as we speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy?
I agree with Councillor Perry, so nothing really add to that.
Thank you. Any other comments? I guess I just might add that, as it says in the paper, that any individual councillor or member of the community can put their views forward if they vary differently or if they want to add anything else to the process, as it's going to take a couple of years, is my understanding. So there's plenty of time to do that. Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.4 is the Devonport Soccer Club request for funding.
So moved.
Councillor Jarman.
Seconded.
Councillor Murphy. Councillor Jarman.
Devonport Soccer Club's just about put Devonport back on the map. Just lately, so it's been amazing what they've done and what they've achieved. It's been a club that's really done a lot of hard work in the last couple of years, and they certainly deserve some recognition in the fact that they want to improve the facilities there. They want to make sure that it's really on the scale of when we next get Foxtel back and having it filmed again, it's going to look even better. I certainly think that this is worth our while in considering, and I certainly hope that everyone supports this for a worthwhile sporting club. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jarman. Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, I think in relation to the Devonport Soccer Club and their direction, I think it's much needed, and I think there will be significant value.
Thank you. Councillor Perry?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Now, I support the previous two speakers, and it would be fair to say right at this time that the Devonport Soccer Club would probably be Devonport's premier sporting club, given their achievements over the last couple of years and beyond that, the amount of growth that that game's had happened, and particularly the way that club's nurtured that growth. So full credit to them to get them to this stage, to get the club to this stage. On this request for funding, and I note the reputational risk is there is a risk that council could be criticised for supporting Devonport City Soccer Club in this project if other sporting organisations feel like they have projects more worthy of support. Well, it'd be hard to argue for a more worthy project of support in the sporting spectrum in Devonport right now, so I don't think there is risk there at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Jarman to close.
I certainly take in consideration Councillor Perry's comments. There's certainly, in the last 8 years I've been here, we've helped different clubs, sporting clubs, because they're all worthy of help, don't get us wrong, but unfortunately we have to go through a pick and choose time. The soccer club has done some incredible things. We've certainly helped them in the past as well, but this is, I think, well overdue. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.5 is the Kelsey Tier Draft Master Plan. We have a recommendation on page 49.
So moved.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister, do we have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister.
This recommendation is been looking at a master plan for the Kelsey Tier area, especially involving the mountain bikers. At the moment, we've actually received the report and noting it, and there'll be further consultation and recommendations as we go further forward, hopefully before we actually adopt a master plan. it would be fantastic, I think, in the future if this area could be developed enough that I don't know that we can rival what's at Derby, but there's no reason why people getting off the ships and the planes here can't make use of this area on their way to and from other areas in the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hollister. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I support Councillor Hollister's comments. We did consult on the draft master plan, which in itself created a range of other points that I think there would be quite a bit of disagreement with around the table, and a couple of those proposed changes that come forth from the consultant I vehemently disagree with. So there is discussion to be had on those before we arrive at a democratic position on the draft master plan. So just thought I'd note that, and the recommendation is sound as it stands. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Perry. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Hollister to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.6. The best I can do is ask someone to open the door.
Is that your air conditioner?
Well, they're centrally controlled, unfortunately. Okay, thank you. Thank you, and note that Councillor Milburn left the room. So item 5.6, the recommendation for the Bass Strait Maritime Centre cafe lease. Do I have a mover, please?
You do, ma'am.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. And Councillor Jarman, Councillor Laycock.
Well, I think it's all there in the report. This is a really good outcome. We've been without an operator at the cafe for some time. And I know, having frequented the previous cafe, that when people come in, they do find that they don't really know a lot about our Bass Strait Maritime Centre or the Julie Burgess, and they either book or they talk about going through for a tour at a later date. So it's a matter of bringing people in and having a good operator there that can operate under the current conditions. So I'm more than happy to support the recommendation, and if this goes through, of course, which I'm got everything crossed it will do, that Paul and Claire Fielding will be able to operate. They're good operators in the food industry. So this will be a wonderful outcome for the Bass Strait Maritime Centre, the council, and hopefully for our new operators. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Councillor Jarman.
If anyone knows what Paul Fielding has achieved already in the short time that he's been here with Bistro Camille, we are very lucky that he's put his hand up to look at operating that cafe. In very, very good hands. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you. Item 5.7 is a recommendation around the Devonport Gymnastics Club. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Jarman, do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Councillor Perry, thank you. Councillor Jarman.
I think if anyone realises the history of this club and where they are now and where they want to go forward in the future, this is very exciting. And so, again, you know, another club doing so well that they're going to be looking at this new building and in a really great spot, seeing that we've got Sprayton and Devonport Bowls Club amalgamating out at the new country club, which will be very exciting as well. So there's a lot of a development going on, and I think this will be very, very supportive of that club, and hopefully they can use it and do well with the kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I agree with Councillor Jarman's comments. This club has had an ongoing problem with a purpose-built facility since I came onto council in 2009, so it's been a long time coming. The fact that they've been able to secure $1.5 million of state and federal government is a credit to them, because in the early days their business plans and associated documentation would not have achieved that result. So they clearly improved their performance in that area. And, you know, I look forward to the club working towards completion of their facility, and I think it's going to add to the Denwood area once again. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Innes?
I think it's fantastic that the council can support another sporting organisation. Sport is one of the real key ingredients in making a very livable place in our city. So good luck with it.
Thank you. Councillor Jarman, to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.1 is a report on workshops and briefings since our last meeting. Do I have a mover, please?
I move.
Alderman Perry, Alderman Hollister. Alderman Perry.
Oh, no, the report's an accurate reflection of what we've done in the last month, so it's
thank you.
Pretty protocol. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Hollister. Councillor Hollister. Thank you. Do I have any other comments?
No.
Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is the Mayor's monthly report. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Milburn. Do I have a seconder?
You do, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock. Councillor Milburn.
Been extremely busy again, Mayor. Well done. Great report, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Thank you. Any comments, questions?
If I may. Look, I'd just like to point out that some of us were able to do a tour at the Dalwarton landfill site, and I think it was a huge eye-opener for some of my fellow colleagues. If anyone wants a tour, they offer them. It's very important for people to learn what we do there. It's incredible. Thank you.
Thank you. We promised to bring everyone back. Councillor Milburn.
Nothing more to add. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's report. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please? Councillor Hollister. Councillor Murphy, thank you. Councillor Hollister.
The GM's obviously been fairly busy. It's all in the report for everybody to read.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Councillor Hollister to close. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.1 is Infrastructure Works Development Committee meeting minutes. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Murphy, thank you. Do I have a seconder?
You do, Mayor.
Councillor Laycock. Councillor Murphy.
It's all in the report. It's a very well-run meeting. As you can see, a lot of detail there.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
I'm not feeling the love, Councillor Murphy. Councillor
Perry. Yeah, I'd just like to confirm with Councillor Murphy's comments.
Again, not feeling the love, Councillor Murphy. Thank you for your comments. Or Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. I now need a mover to move into closed session, please. Councillor Perry. Councillor Milburn. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, everyone in the gallery. See you next time. Meeting open section closed at 6:43.